Hello, everybody. This is the Heralds of Nerdage coming to you for yet another incredible podcast. This is Chaz.
Let's hold off on saying it's incredible till the end.
No, it is incredible.
You jinxed us.
No.
It could be like amazing.
I think incredible is better than amazing.
What about cosmic?
That, I don't know if I'd use that as an adjective.
What about ultimate?
All right. Either way, this podcast is going to be a blast. You're going to have fun listening to it.
I know, I'm already having fun.
I'm having a great time.
Oh yeah, it's good times.
I hope you two out there, listeners, are as well.
Yeah, especially those of you sitting in class, just listening, doodling. Probably going to doodle what we talk about. Who knows?
That would be cool.
It would be.
Send in your drawings. We'll put them up on our website.
Yeah.
In-class doodles. Inspired by the Heralds of Nerdage.
Well, okay, so let's start. If they're going to doodle, let's talk about comics. That's something easy to doodle about.
That's definitely a doodle situation right there.
It's good times.
Doodle-friendly.
We had a couple books come out. I'm not going to get right into one of the main books. I'm going to talk about a little book that just started called Red Wing.
It's amazing.
It is. It's very good. Hopefully everyone has picked it up. It's by Hickman, and it's a really good book, especially if you like time traveling and like space pilots.
Yep. If you like, how would you describe him? If you like X-Wings from Star Wars.
I'd say more like Battlestar Galactica.
If you like X-Wings from Star Wars and time travel, then this is definitely the book for you.
Mm-hmm.
It is a super cool premise.
It is. It's very good. The second one just came out, revealed a little bit more, left a lot of questions.
Luckily, there's still two issues to go. Nice little four-issue miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Should be in trade soon as well, because they said they're not doing second prints on the run, and they're not doing overprints on the run either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you missed out on them and you want to read it that bad, best bet now is probably going to be online, or just wait for the trade, which I'm sure will be phenomenal as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Hickman puts a lot of extra stuff into his trades, which is awesome. Like a lot of things in the back, a lot of information. So it'll definitely make it a trade to pick up.
Oh, right.
And the first issue had dinosaurs.
It did have dinosaurs.
Like any good time traveling book.
Yeah.
It's got to have dinosaurs.
True. So, and then that was a great book. And then luckily I saved that to the end. But also in the past couple of weeks we had Fear Itself and we had not a Flashpoint, but we had Flashpoint tie-ins.
A lot of Flashpoint tie-ins.
Right. And I've always said this, that I think Fear Itself is a strong book while its tie-ins are weak. And then it's vice versa for Flashpoint, where Flashpoint is a weak storyline, but awesome tie-ins.
I'd say Flashpoint is an okay storyline. I won't say weak, but I won't say it doesn't feel...
It feels weak to me, being that this is supposed to be the lead-in to the big 52 reboot.
I could see that. It doesn't feel like a summer event book in the same way like Blackest Night felt.
Right.
Like I think it has to do with the Flash being the main character,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely not a huge story like Fear Itself is.
Right.
In that sort of scale, definitely. Mm-hmm. But the tie-ins are just now wrapping up this month. All 16 of them, the number threes, are coming out. And what are your thoughts on those so far? How do you like how they've been ending?
I don't like how they end at all.
All right, pretty succinct.
Yeah, it irritates me because they've been such great books that I think a three-run series on some of these books didn't do it justice.
Yeah.
The only one that truly felt like it actually ended, had a full-on ending, was Citizen Cold.
Definitely, that one had an ending.
That was it. Agree. But like Dead Men in the Flying Grayson, Kid Flash hasn't ended yet. What was the other couple of books? Emperor Aquaman, The Secret Six, like all those books. I seriously could read, Dead Men in the Flying Graysons at least, I don't know, forever, feels
right.
Like. I felt like that's a book that deserves its ongoing series. They could at least make it, I shouldn't say ongoing, I should say at least like a 12-issue series.
Or another, something else extra. Mm-hmm. I'll say this much. I have enjoyed the stories myself as well,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like the books that are not written by established comic writers or writers that, I don't want to say established, because I'm sure that all the writers have written something at some point or another. Right. But the sort of bigger name writers, like the Batman one, written by Brian Azzarello.
Right, that's another book.
Citizen Cold, written by Scott Collins.
Mm-hmm.
They're all ending like they should. Their stories are done. Flashpoint is not going to... It might be like the Age of Apocalypse, where like 15 years from now, they're going to come back and be like, oh, look, this Flashpoint universe is some divergent timeline or whatever. They fixed it, but it's still happening.
Right.
But it doesn't need to be left open for that. So the ones by the actual writers with a lot of credits to their name are ending like books should. And a lot of these other ones, like Dead Man and the Flying Graysons, what's the other one? Secret Six, Ab and Sur, they all feel like that they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know that, like, oh, three's where we're ending it, so we have to wrap up our story. It's just like, oh, this happens at the end. Well, that doesn't resolve anything that happened at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little frustrating because it, like, some of them had a lot of promise, and then now they're ending really terribly.
Right.
Although Frankenstein ended well, I thought. I loved that book the whole way through. It was great.
That was the only Flashpoint I did not read.
You missed out, man, because it was so cool.
I mean, I even read, like, what is it, Citizen Britain or whatever his name was.
Canterbury Cricket?
Yeah, Canterbury Cricket.
That one felt like a lot of setup. A lot of the other ones, too, like Emperor Aquaman and Wonder Woman and the Furies both ended.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why those didn't end.
Right, because
there'd
be spoilers to the actual Flashpoint storyline.
Knowing that there's only one more issue of Flashpoint to come out, those ones I'm okay with, like, oh, to be continued. Essentially.
Right.
But the other ones, like Dead Man and the Flying Graysons, ended on a point of like, are you for reals? Like, this is what should have happened at the end of issue one. And then you show more of this.
Right, exactly.
So that part I will say was a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Although their tie-ins up until this point felt like they were doing really well. I'll still say that they're stronger than the Fear Itself tie-ins.
Right.
With the exception, of course, being stuff like Invincible Iron Man and Journey into Mystery.
And Avengers Academy?
And Avengers Academy.
Yeah.
The most underrated Avengers book, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's super good. But I feel like those ones, again, it's sort of that we are writers doing this, and we know that it's going to be important to our story after this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, I'm just writing this miniseries that has Deadpool in it.
Right.
Or, you know, stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you that a lot of those, it almost... You're right when it seems like no one told the writers, hey, you're doing a 3-issue.
Right, or they did, and they were like, oh, of course. I know how to end a book on 3 issues with a cliffhanger, knowing that this universe is going to end
in like 2 weeks. Maybe they're like writing it and be like, okay, dude, how can we keep our jobs past this? I know, we'll hook them.
What would they be?
We'll hook them on a book that's going to restart no matter what we do.
It'll be awesome. So, yeah, it's sort of a bummer. Although... Fear Itself 5, which just came out last week, and Flashpoint 4, which came out 2 weeks before that, were both pretty incredible issues.
Flashpoint seemed to have finally picked up, but it's almost like, dude, you're almost 3/4 of the way done. You should have picked up.
It's 4/5 of the way done.
There you go. You know, it's like, dude, you should have picked up, had this momentum in the second book, you know, not the fourth book. It seems a little, you have almost like, what is it, is it five parts? There you go. You got one book left. You got to wrap everything up.
Which I think it's going to blow up. I think the problem, I think, so far is that each book of Flashpoint has had that last page reveal moment where it's like, whoa, that's incredible. You know, like, or whoa, that just happened. And it should have been more like 2 per book.
Mm-hmm.
Like one right in the middle and then one at the end. So I think Flashpoint 5 is going to have that feeling of like, each page is going to be like, whoa, are you kidding me? Oh, I can't believe that. Oh, are you serious? And then you get to the very end and be like, wait, what just happened?
That just happened.
Yeah.
Which is what I can say about Fear Itself.
Fear Itself 5.
If you read that.
Was pretty incredible.
It was.
It didn't feel like too much happened.
But it did.
A lot did happen. A lot did happen.
I kind of want to talk about it, but then it's only like a week old.
It's true.
So...
Send us your thoughts. Let us know what you thought about it.
I don't know. What do you want to do, Chaz? You want to talk about it or you want to just wait?
Well, let's put it this way. We're going to talk about it.
Right.
So go out, if you haven't already, or if you have bought it and haven't read it, read it, put us on pause, come back and listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Or put us on pause, go out and get it, read it, and then listen to us.
Sure. Or just bypass everything and just listen to us.
Exactly.
All right. So the big reveal.
Let's kind of set it up first. Fear Itself 5 was called The Brawl.
Right.
And it's the crazy Asgardian Thing versus the crazy Asgardian Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Or both of them, I should say, versus mm-hmm. Thor.
Right.
New York City. Smackdown.
It was a total street brawl.
It was awesome.
It was
the fight in, what is it, They Live? Mm-hmm. Between Rowdy Piper and that other guy. Just brutal. It was great.
Okay.
So much so, and they really showed, like, in a sense, they're playing for keeps. Because Thor kills the Thing.
Yeah.
Essentially. Thor
and does it without hesitation.
Well, through the Thing's body.
Right.
He apologizes to him in advance.
Right.
But then right after that is the coolest line in the whole book.
He's like, "In him I liked."
When he's looking right at the Hulk.
Right.
Tells the Hulk that he's always been a pain.
It was good.
And then wails on him.
Yeah, he gives him, he's like, this might not kill you, but, you know, this will do some hurting to you.
And not only that, like, just awesome, seeing that fight and all that go down. But then you get to see the Thing pretty much on his deathbed being possessed by this Asgardian entity, even.
Mm-hmm.
And who shows up?
Little Richard.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of the Richard's kids, Valeria and Franklin.
Yeah, little Franklin comes up, and what does he whisper in his ear? He says, "Uncle Thing," or, you know, "Uncle Benjamin." It's like, "Hey, I told my folks I'd never use powers, but I lied."
Bam! Transforms him.
Whoa!
Totally back to normal. Incredible.
It was good times.
It was some of the best reading that I've done. And in the midst of all that, Tony Stark is now working on crazy Asgardian weapons.
Yeah.
Essentially to help turn the tides, which I think is probably one of the smartest moves they could have made. Because mm-hmm. that's what Tony did, was make weapons. And why not make sweet mystical weapons?
Right, and he even says that, you know, to Odin, like straight up, he's like, "Hey, dude, look. I'm a weapons guy through and through. I know how to make weapons. Like, either give me a chance or get out of my way. Either way, I'm making weapons." Like, and then sure enough, Odin's like, "Okay, this is going to be a good laugh. Like, here's my workshop. Have at it. See what you can do."
And this, I think, is definitely going to lead into that teaser image that we saw a little while back of the Mighty.
The Mighty Iron Man?
No, just the Mighty. It's the Mighty.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the Worthy, right? Mm-hmm. Which are all the serpents, hammer wielders.
Right.
So if Tony Stark is there crafting weapons now, let's say these weapons find their way into the hands of Captain America.
Right.
And they get all beefed up, just like Thor does.
Right, okay.
We're looking at an epic throwdown in issue 6 and 7.
Of extreme proportions.
Extreme proportions.
Okay.
And I'm stoked on it. I don't all care right. that there's almost so little exposition involved
mm-hmm.
in this whole thing. Like, so far, it seems like each issue has been, like, there's a good part of it, like, right at the beginning, where mm-hmm. they talk about what's happening. And then the rest of it is just 2-page spreads of people fighting.
Which has been really cool.
It's so cool.
Kind of like Secret Invasion, where that should have been. Well, even though they had a lot
Secret
of
Secret Invasion got a lot more talky, I think. They were like, wait.
Are you a Skrull? No. Are you a Skrull? No. Are you a Skrull? No.
All right, let's all fight each other just to be sure.
Okay, let Wolverine smell you too. Better do that.
How about Wolverine cuts you? If you bleed green, then Wolverine kills you.
So I'm like, I've enjoyed Fear Itself so far. I'm still enjoying Fear Itself. But like you said, the tie-ins, not so much except for what we discussed earlier.
The larger books. The books that were already going on, essentially, mm-hmm. that are now tying in,
mm-hmm.
Are pretty awesome.
Right. And then another actually kind of, I don't know if you call it a side story or what, but like a side event, I guess would be the way, for Spider Island.
Yes. It's Spider-Man's own sort of his own universe event.
Right. Anyways, in Spider Island, it's been leading up to it for so many months. We've had our first issue, and now we still have all these tie-ins. Basically, most of Manhattan has developed spider powers,
yep.
thanks to the Jackal.
Awesome.
Which, if you remember, had the horrible story of the Clone Wars back in the 90s or 80s or whenever it was. And
it was the 90s.
The only thing that really good came out of that was Ben Reilly.
You mean the Scarlet Spider?
Sure.
And his costume.
Yeah.
The cut-off hoodie.
Yep, it's all about it.
Word.
But, no, so everyone's got these spider powers, and so the Jackal has rounded up all the thugs, and it's like, okay, we're going to let you loose, and you're just going to create havoc, and...
Except...
Right.
We want you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In these. And right. What does he have?
He has all the old retro costumes.
A warehouse full of them.
And I tell you, the best part about Spider Island was the very end spread on The Amazing Spider-Man, the first chapter of Spider Island, when they had all the Spider-Man laid out on the ground. You know, you had the fat Spider-Man, the black yeah. Spider-Man, and like the just like all the different people, all the thugs and everything that were done that. And in the bottom left-hand corner, there's a cosmic Spider-Man. Did you see that?
I think it's
like
this big
fat guy,
and he was
like,
pretty awesome.
He was like half in his costume right. and half out, and his mask was up, and he had like a donut. It was really good.
Awesome.
But it was just cool to see all like the different spider costumes and just see how everyone was adjusting to the powers. Like you see Spider-Man's girlfriend, Cooper, she's got spider powers and
she's sort of using them responsibly, I guess.
Right.
You could
I mean
say.
She even says it. She's like, what's the best thing of developing spider powers? Well, it's also being a cop. So now I'm like the best of both worlds, and I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. She accepted her role and is gonna apply it to the good of mankind. So I'm looking forward to Spider Island.
I'm loving the main series so far, and right. we've only had a couple of the tie-ins come out. We had the Cloak and Dagger miniseries right. start, the mm-hmm. Spider-Girl miniseries start,
yeah,
and then the one-shot of the Deadly Foes.
Right, which is a bunch of little collections.
It had Hobgoblin and a Jackal story, which the Jackal story takes place before
mm-hmm.
Spider Island actually starts, and you sort of find out how he was able to do this.
Right.
Which sort of backs up a theory I have. We can come back to that in a moment, though.
Okay.
And Spider Island's going to actually touch on a couple other books, too. I know Venom is tied into it, which yep. makes sense because it's Venom and you can't have a spider event without
anything,
Venom.
Anything Spider-Man seems like it's been related because Spider-Girl.
There's going to be a Herc tie-in,
mm-hmm.
which I'm excited for because I love the Incredible Hercules.
Okay. I actually enjoyed his run, too.
But he's going to be involved, and he's based in like Little Greece, mm-hmm. I guess, part of New York. So that kind of makes sense. But, mm-hmm. And I think a couple other books sort of are tied into it as well.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see, I think, when these other universe books touch it, how deep their role is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because these one-shots and miniseries have been super good.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that these other books can keep up that trend.
Yeah. I enjoyed the smaller stories as well. I really enjoyed the Hobgoblin story, actually.
That was awesome. That's one of my favorite artists at Marvel right now.
Yeah.
Cameron Coley. Mm-hmm. He used to do Dark Wolverine, but mm-hmm. whenever he shows up on a book, I buy it because it's awesome. I love his art.
Yeah. It was good to see that. Spider-Girl had a big revelation at the end. It was kind of a small book, so you might have read it. You might not. I don't know. I mean, should I say it or?
Same thing with Fear Itself. You could put us on pause right. if you want to read it first.
Right.
But let's go ahead and talk about it.
Kingpin has spider powers.
Sweet.
That was like the very end. Kingpin knows Spider-Girl's identity, and the last scene is him up on a wall saying, we both have powers. Like, what are we going to do?
Uh-oh.
It was good times. So it's going to be cool to see. It's going to be pretty cool to see because he is actually the first villain that I've seen to develop spider powers.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what develops in this situation.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Well, cool.
Before we leave this subject, though,
yeah.
let's talk about a theory that I have about Spider Island.
Okay, let's hear it.
Who's behind it?
Okay, let's hear it.
So we have, at the end of The Amazing Spider-Man 666, right, the prelude, the Jackal returns to his lab.
Right.
Where he's you know, doing his mad science mm-hmm. and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And this off-screen person, or off-panel person, is telling him, hey, look what I got. It's in this tube. And there's very clearly a person in this giant tube, like a weird cryogenics tube.
Right.
Right? And the Jackal freaks out over it. He's like, wow, this is sort of what I've always wanted. This is like the prime specimen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where did you come by this?
Mm-hmm.
And the person off-panel says, oh, I got it wherever, whatever she says. And I assume that it's a woman because they show a hand, and it's a very feminine hand.
Okay.
For one. And her speech bubbles are red with yellow writing. So my theory is that this is Madame Web is the one who's behind all this.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Carpenter, the new Madame Web, is behind all this. Because psychics and future seers tend to play that like end game thing of like, oh, I did this because look what happened at the end.
Right.
You've got all these cool things or whatever, you know,
right.
now. But I think that theory was backed up in the Deadly Foes one shot in the Jackal story, after everything goes down with him, mm-hmm. he meets up with the same woman, mm-hmm. or what I think is a woman.
Right.
And says, the lady gives him these blood samples, right? Mm-hmm. And these blood samples freak him out the same way that they did that.
Right.
And she says, what do you think about this? And he says, well, madam, I'd have to say I'm in love. Which is a weird thing for somebody to call somebody, madam.
Well, I mean, he is a bit weird. Of an old guy.
He is, but it's at the same time, it's like maybe one of those subtle hints, or maybe I'm reading too much into it.
I think you're reading too
much
into
it. But at the same time, in that last issue of Spider-Man, she let Spider-Man get beat up by everybody. He came in to like help beat up the evil Spider-Men, mm-hmm. and the thing punched him in the face.
That was funny.
That would kill a normal person.
Well, good thing he's Spider-Man.
This is true. But she let it happen.
Right.
Shang-Chi was going to go down there and help like crazy, which I would have loved to see. Sweet kung fu action.
We anyway. Already got to see your sweet kung fu action because Spider-Man learned his own spider-fu.
She's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, there's that.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's my theory. I'm going to go on record right now as saying Madam Web behind Spider-Island to help restore the web of life.
I have no idea who's behind it. The only
you don't want to take a stab in the dark. Who knows? Maybe you'll have a better guess.
Gwen Stacy clone, but they all died. All the Gwen Stacy clones died.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Who knows?
Bum bum bum.
I don't know. I mean, it's either that or it could be Kraven's daughter.
That'd be kind of cool too.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
But all right. So I tell you what. It's the end of summer. School's about to start. Stuff like that. Why don't we throw out some recommendations to hold you over until like Christmas time or something like that? What books?
So like trades.
Yeah,
trades or things like that to pick up.
Right. It's going to start getting cold soon, the fall. So you know, like maybe next time you're in your shop or your local comic shop, start grabbing like some books, stock up for the winter. Because I love reading
to get through class.
That too.
Not that we say
don't I listen read in through class.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. But, no, like, I always like to get a couple of books that I'll save for, like, the wintertime and stuff like that when it gets a little cold and, you know, you're inside and whatnot. You just want to hang out.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like that. So, let's go with a couple of books each and just throw it out there. All right. Start us off, Chaz.
Well, it just came out this last week.
Uh-huh.
It's been out for a little while, and I believe I may have recommended it before. But this new collection, it's the new Wii 3, just released in a deluxe hardcover format.
Mm-hmm.
Pages are a little bit bigger, get more detail, and it mm-hmm. actually has 10 additional story pages,
mm-hmm.
which help just kind of flesh out the story, mm-hmm. and it is gorgeous.
Yeah,
one of my favorite books of all time, easily.
Yep.
So that's definitely one that I recommend picking up, and especially in this new hardcover edition.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What's your first?
I'd go with a pretty thick book. It's the Invincible Compodium. It collects 0 through 47 of the Invincible series.
Sort of like what they did with The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Only with Kirkman's other awesome book.
Right. So if you're looking to get into like just an all around like superhero book that tackles like some violence and stuff like that, like you know Marvel always censors their stuff. Like this one, like punch in the chest, and when I do a punch in the chest, like it goes through the chest.
Yeah, it comes out the other side.
Right. And great artwork, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's an all-around good book that you can sit down and spend a couple hours and enjoy it.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So what's another book you'd recommend?
I definitely recommend, let's see, trying to think of something a little bit more mainstream, just in case that's what somebody's looking for.
Right.
What would I recommend? I would recommend, for any fan of good comics out there, Old Man Logan.
Ah, good call.
It's a big, beefy trade that'll mm-hmm. get you through a long time. Like, it'll hold you over for a while. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of pages in it. And the story is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Logan out being tough without being Wolverine. It is crazy.
Yeah.
And you'll know what I'm talking about when you pick it up and you read the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Yeah. Definitely worth picking up and trying out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's a very good book. The next book I would probably recommend would be Chew.
Ah.
And if you can find the Omnivore edition, go with that, because that's like another compodium. But if not, just stick with the trade Volume 1, Taster's Choice.
Definitely.
Great book. It's an Eisner winner.
Yes, twice now, I think.
Yeah.
First for best new, and now for best ongoing?
I think it's ongoing.
Yeah. That's the one that just won this last year.
Yep. It's a great book. Really funny and really well done. Just a super funny book.
It is an incredibly... I never laughed as hard as a book as I have at Chew. Hands down.
Are you laughing at Chew or laughing at me?
Both.
Okay.
My pick, my next one, it's sort of like a 3B pick.
Okay.
But these are all very, they're sort of slice of life books, I guess you could say. There's no superheroes, there's no craziness to it. There's nothing sort of odd about it. It's just sort of like a real life story.
Right.
The first one I would throw out there is it's a book called Blankets.
Okay.
And it is an absolutely beautiful book. It's a love story from start to finish. Like, the whole thing, and it's sort of super depressing, but it's really awesome at the same time, like, really good at the same time.
Okay.
So that one is definitely out there. There's another one called Day Tripper, which is really, really well done, and it sort of doesn't make any sense when you're first reading it, but if you follow it all the way through, it is beautiful.
Okay.
And that one actually won the Eisner this last year as well for Best Miniseries.
Okay.
And the third one is a book called Asterius Polyp. And it's much like Blankets in a way of like a relationship story. But it's super well done. It's drawn by the guy who actually drew Batman Year One.
Oh, wow.
And he disappeared for a long time and then came back and did this book. And it's just, it's really good. It's the art is amazing in it. And it's, yeah, it's a good read. So those would be three that I would recommend if you're not into the superhero stuff or you're looking to try something outside the superhero stuff.
Right.
Without being, you know... This is just something, it's very real.
Okay.
It really connects with you, so.
I haven't read any of them, so it makes me kind of want to read them now.
You should definitely read them.
the last and final book I'd recommend would be Incognito.
Oh.
A great book about a supervillain that ratted his fellow supervillains out and then went into the witness protection. And it's like his struggles to not use his powers. It's a really good book. You'll enjoy it. It shows like both sides, like, hey, you know, I'm a, like the dude's in like a grocery store and like some dude like messes with him. He's like, you know, like I could punch this dude in the face and blow it off and, but I can't, yeah. You know, it's his struggles to adapt into the modern society.
That one I would definitely say is a really good read.
Yeah.
And that same team does another book called Criminal, which is almost... the same style with no superheroes. It's just all about people committing crimes, like big heists or con jobs and stuff like that. It's insane. But those, yeah, Incognito is amazing. It's got two trades out, too.
Yep.
Pick them up both at the same time, because you're going to love them.
Okay. So, all right. So those are some good recommendations. And then, of course, we have, we'll touch on this real quick. With everything ending, we have the 52... revamp coming up.
Starts at the first week of next month.
Yep, so hopefully everyone's ready for it. You know, I mean, just want to touch base on it real quick just to let everyone know that basically DC is revamping everything. So go out to your local comic store or just get ready for it. Go sign up because there's 52 new titles. I mean,
everything from war books to sort of the old school supernatural books to even this new... you have superhero books even, you know? So they're really touching on almost every genre.
Right.
There's even some vampire books, some lady books, if you will.
Oh, man, that's
I'm
bad.
Just kidding.
So, yeah, get ready to get set to get ready, I guess would be the...
Get ready, get set, get going.
Yeah.
And pick them books up in September.
Yep, I think I got 24 of the 52 on my pull list. At my local comic shop.
I want to say that I have probably about the same, maybe a few more.
Right. A lot of those, I have a feeling I'm going to be like 3-4 issues into it, and then it's just going to be like, okay, I really wish it went back to the old days. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like, Batman and Robin just ended, and I really wish it hadn't. So,
I'm most curious about that one, specifically.
Yeah.
Because of... it being more about Bruce and Damian as the team instead of Dick and Damian. because Bruce and Damian have had no extended interaction.
I like so that the Dick and Damian.
Sort of exciting and weird.
Mm-hmm. I like the Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne.
The playful nature of their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, they're both almost like kids. And it's funny that like Dick Grayson has like the maturity of Damian, and Damian has the maturity of Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
They have like the reverse roles, but, you know, it's a really well done book. And it allowed Damian to break away from his character mold of, hey, I was trained to be this awesome assassin, but, you know, I see that there's another route I can go that's just as fulfilling.
Definitely.
So I'm looking forward to Batman. Well, I'm not really, but I have high hopes for it.
I'm looking forward to this whole 52 relaunch. I'm excited to see a company say, we're not changing everything. What we're doing is we're making it so that everything took place within the last 10 years.
Right. They're just updating it.
It's all just updated. It's like doing the Ultimate Universe, but instead of having two lines going at the same time, instead of having Amazing Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man, they're doing it. They're just saying this is the new continuity.
I do give DC credit for trying this.
It's pretty ballsy.
I feel
confident saying that, even though we're a clean podcast.
At least they got a good team going behind them, you know, Morrison and
Johns
and Jim Lee. I mean, that's a pretty star-studded trio that you got
right
there.
They've got Scott Snyder, who's killing it. Jeff Lemire, who's doing awesome on his stuff. Gail Simone is still around too, so it's they've got a lot of strong writers, and I'm glad to see that the reins of a lot of these books are not being handed off to Flashpoint writers. You know, like it wasn't like, oh, you got your toes wet here, take this, because I don't want that to happen again. Right. I don't want to get to issue 3 and be like, surprise, cliffhanger,
we're ending this book.
Oops, we forgot.
Well, oh well, we'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, like you said, we got a couple weeks, so
we do.
It's not that long of a wait.
And even if those comics should happen to not fulfill us in the way that comics used to, September is an incredible month for video games.
Right. I was going to say for MC Chris's new Race Wars.
That too.
But that's tonight.
Hashtag MC Chris Race Wars.
You win $500.
If we post that on Twitter.
Feel kind of like we just sold out right there.
No way.
But in a good way. It's MC Chris, so it's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're right. Games. We got a... I don't know about huge, but...
Huge. I'm saying it.
Okay. I'll let you say it.
There are two that I'm super excited for, minimum. One that I think is going to be huge and blow my mind all over again.
Okay. What game is that?
That is the Team Ico re-release for PS3.
I would have said Star Fox, but...
That too. Those are both the two that are going to blow my mind.
Okay.
But just being able to play Shadow of the Colossus with the super nice graphics now.
Yep.
We watched that video on IGN earlier.
Yep.
I am stoked on that.
Okay.
Big time.
All right. And when does that come out?
That one comes out September 24th or 27th.
Okay. So at the end of the month.
Sort of mid end of the month.
Well, the game that comes out before that that has me excited is Star Fox 64 3DS, or maybe it's just Star Fox 3DS.
I think it's Star Fox 64 3DS.
Okay. Either way, I just can't wait to hear do a barrel roll on my 3DS.
I can't wait to see graphics that look even cleaner than they did before. I can't wait to see Ocarina of Time, but with Star Fox. It's going to be amazing.
I'm not looking forward to saving Peppy or Pippi all the time.
I'm looking forward to saving him. I'm looking forward to letting Falco die every time. Because every time I save him, he's like, I had it, so I'll let him take it.
Let's see how it turns out, Falco.
Exactly. Oh, I gotta be Falco? Anyways. And there's co-op on that too, correct?
Yeah, if there I is. Wrong? And it's cool because the co-op in Star Fox uses the front-facing camera on the 3DS. So it allows you to see your friends as you're killing them in their like weird, straying face that everyone always puts on when they're playing video games and gets into
it. Right, when they're really concentrating hard.
Oh, yeah, dude. Picture your best friend right now like putting that face on. Like, you know you get a kick out of it.
Right now I'm picturing us when we were playing the Kinect right after we ate giant hamburgers.
That was more of a nausea.
But I'm excited for that as well. That sort of that front facing, you know, camera use, and that it's going to be right there, like you're shooting down your friend,
right,
and you're watching him die.
It's going to be good times.
It is going to be good times.
Mm, looking forward to it. And then I guess a couple weeks after that, you have a game that I'm looking forward to, Gears of War 3.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to play that. co-op mode, because that's the only way I played the other ones.
I enjoyed it, or I'm going to enjoy it. I have a good feeling about it, you know. The Cliff Bleszinski's never let me down so far. He's done two great titles.
True.
Might as well keep going. Trifecta. Let's make it happen. Come on, Cliffy B. Oh, thinking of the Lancer. I was able to pre-order the special edition and got the replica Lancer again. Nice. So
I have two.
Oh, yeah, dude. One with the bayonet and one with the chainsaw.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Watch out.
Oh, I'll post pictures. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then the other day, we finally got the announcement of Zelda Skyward Sword, which is another game I'm looking for. But that's not till like November, which is about the same time as Uncharted
3.
Yeah.
Which I am super stoked on.
Why is that?
Because I love the Uncharted series.
You like the Drake's Fortune?
I did.
Yeah.
And I liked Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
Which I think was that Drake's Fortune?
I think it was.
I don't know. Anyways. I liked them all. They have great cutscenes.
They do. I actually only played the first one, and I enjoyed it, and I just never got around to playing the second one. It just happened to be that...
Madness.
I know. Chaz is shaking his head at me right now.
Shaking my head.
But there were other games that held my attention over the time. Okay. We had Red Dead.
That's true.
Which we still play. And then, you know, you had Batman, Arkham Asylum.
Yep.
Which Arkham City comes out...
October.
In October. So that'll hold you over. It'll go... Gears of War 3, Batman Arkham Asylum, Uncharted, and Zelda. So it seems like you'll have one good game on every console.
Yeah.
I wish I could say that Batman was an exclusive and PS3 was being held over, but at least Batman's an all-around game.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting.
Right. So you had Gears for the 360, Batman for either system, and then you had Zelda for the Wii and Uncharted for the PS3. Oh, and you had Star Fox for the 3DS.
Dope.
So we finally get to use all three systems.
It's going
to
be awesome.
All four systems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thinking of gear, I was able to finally get a hold of a Zoom.
Nice.
Yep. Got the Wi-Fi only. I also played with the 3G one that the business has.
Right.
So there's really no difference, except one, you get internet all the time, and the other, it's just, you know, Wi-Fi only.
Right.
But I've had it now for close to a month. Good game, or it's not, I don't know if I'd say good gaming, but it's got its mobile games that are enlarged, like on the iPad, some nice. Of them that, you know, are developed for it that have come with a high def, and, you know, that allows the screen resolution to be bigger and stuff like that.
I'm sure there's some that don't do that.
It still stretches it. It still looks pretty clean. Like, oh, okay. I cut the rope and, you know, Angry Birds and stuff like that, and it still looks fairly decent. I mean, you're dealing with 2D sprites and stuff, but... They gave you a couple of 3D games with it that requires you to use a touchpad to maneuver around on it. So what happens is it's kind of weird feeling holding the Zoom like you would a controller, you know, and your left thumb is dealing with the directional pad, and then you got your right thumb
right
doing your inputs. So it's a little weird. I can't really see myself gaming on it a lot, to be honest. I don't know if the iPad's any different. I mean, I tried playing a couple games on the iPad that my brother has, and it felt the same, like, kind of bulkiness to it.
Right.
Unless you're dealing with just, like, a touchpad, like Cut the Rope or, you know, Fruit Ninja or, you know, something super simple. But, like, the complex game seems a little bit harder for me. But overall, I enjoy it. I use it a lot for work. It syncs up great with my Google documents and all my Google accounts. And probably the only thing I don't like about the Zoom is, I think this is the deal with any tablet for the time being, is you go to a lot of websites and it pulls up the mobile version.
Right.
But sometimes it's pretty easy to find. You just scroll down to the bottom and you just swap into full screen or full version. And then it's easy going from there. But other than that, I mean, I've enjoyed it. You know, these tablets are really great to have because I own a Alienware M17 R3, which is the 17-inch version of the Alienware, which, you know, weighs a lot and it's big. And it's a great PC and all, but it's heavy. It's like, you know, close to 9 pounds. And
oof.
It's a lot for me to bring that thing around, bust it open, you know, power it up, let it boot up, Well, the tablet, you just push that button, it's on, and then you can go on internet. It's ready to go. Yeah, it's right there. And you can do pretty much everything that you need to do on it.
Nice.
You know, for what you need a tablet for.
Right.
So, overall, I give this thing, you know, a solid 4. And, you know, if you ever see it on sale or whatnot, I definitely recommend it.
Nice.
You know, it all depends. Don't expect to sync up all your iTunes with it, though. I'll give you that warning right now. This is a Motorola Google-based phone, not an iTunes-compatible.
Right.
Like, it'll take most of your songs that are MP3, but no movies, anything like that. So don't even try it. All right.
Classic.
Yeah, it is what it is, though.
Yeah.
So, you got anything else you want to add, Chaz? Or any questions you want to ask me about the Zoom?
Trying to think of a good question about the Zoom. Because you covered gaming and you covered all the other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the battery life like?
Good. I've gone a solid 2 days on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you used two on those two days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I walked around the house and didn't even turn on the computer. And for, like, I was watching, like, TV and playing on the Zoom. And then I went and made some ice cream. And while I was making ice cream, I had music going. And then after I was done making the ice cream, I came back in here and went right back into, like, you know, IGN and, you know, Facebook, stuff like that. A lot of flash-heavy websites, especially IGN, if you ever go on there. So it worked, and I didn't run out of battery life for a long time.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a solid 2 days is a good amount of time for anything.
Yeah.
Especially a big tablet.
Yeah. It's a really good tablet. I really do enjoy it.
Nice.
So, yep.
Right on.
Word. Well,
I think we could successfully call that incredible.
I agree now. Now that we finished it and I've seen the final product, I agree. What do you guys think?
Time travel back to the beginning and say incredible.
Okay.
Bam! Gone. I did it.
Hey, welcome back.
I'm back.
All right. Well, I guess that concludes this podcast.
I believe so.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yep.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yep. Follow us on, or give us a like on Facebook.
Yeah.
Check us out. Leave a message. All right. Later.
Later.